Well, bless your beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Jeremiah chapter 2. In our previous teachings, we've taken a lot of time to study and focus on the characteristics of God, looking at his very essence, such as God is love or God is light. And again, you know, God is not literally physical light, where you go into a room and you turn on the light and God is there, you turn it off and he's gone. It's not that. But or that he's only around during the daytime and Satan rules the night or something like that. It's just a figurative language to help man who is flesh understand the attributes of God who's spirit. So when we think of light, you may think of purity. You can think of warmth, safety, life, goodness, or perhaps goodwill. All these are attributes or characteristics to describe the virtues of God. We perceive in the phrase that is God is light. So all of these attributes and all of these virtues that we perceive. Then when we think of God or our relationship with him, these terms should come to mind. And our approach on how we look at God, how we look at situations, our point of thoughts toward God should emanate from these great truths. And again, it should reflect on his thoughts toward us. So, and the same is with God is love. His very nature is kindness, it's compassion, it's tenderness, there's understanding. His very being, his conduct and his very core should be associated with love and being loved. But now I want to look at another phrase that will open to you eight particular areas where God is the source, the originator, the supplier to meet man's every need so that man can trust, rely, and find comfort in the power and presence of God. So that also that man can be secure and confident in the more abundant life. And the more abundant life means above the ordinary measure. That's where we want to be. We want to be above the ordinary measure. The word abundant means above the ordinary measure, and it's the more abundant. So we're, you know, not just scraping over the ordinary measure, but high, much higher than the ordinary measure. So all of our politics basically looks at the middle class. But that's not where God wants us. He wants us to have a more abundant life above the ordinary measure. Middle class would be the ordinary measure. God's desire is for us to be abundantly more than the ordinary measure. And that's not just talking about finances or anything like that, but it's the whole quality of life and benefits of life. And that's where these eight areas come under the simple phrase of the God of. The God of is to indicate that he, as God, is the creator. He's the God of. So he's the creator of, or the source of, the originator of, the initiator of, and the only source of supply. He is the God of. If he is the creator of, he is the only source of that supply. And it puts it in the category of possession. He is the God of. It belongs to him. He's the originator, the source. And it puts it in the category of possession in the sense that you can't get it any other place. You won't find it any other place. It belongs to him. But as God's love and God is light, he freely supplies. In Jeremiah chapter 2, we'll start in verse 11. And it says, hath the nation changed their gods? Why are ye yet, which are yet, no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. So my glory is God's glory. That's what he's talking about. And if it is the God of, and it is his possession, or he is the originator, he is the starter of it, you can't get it any other place, so any other gods are not going to be sufficient for you. And that's why they're not gods, which are yet no gods. But my people have changed their glory, and their glory is the glory of God, for that which doth not profit. And we have to keep coming back to God and his glory, and glory as his manifested power. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So, you know, again, we need to remind ourselves, a fountain has an unlimited supply. So everything that God has is in an unlimited supply. In other words, we're not worried about it running out. We can't be afraid that it's suddenly going to be stopped or we're going to be cut off. And that supply is a fountain of living water in the sense that it is refreshing. It always revitalizes. It always re-energizes. The necessary supply for man to live as more than a conqueror in the more abundant life now, and the complete assurance of the hope, which is eternity in perfection. So not only do we have right now a life that should be above the ordinary measure from this unending supply, but we also have a hope of eternal perfection. So that's pretty nice. Whatever God is the source of, as workers together with him, we can distribute that unending supply. We can help in his distribution of that unending supply and feed the hungry. Now, in this phrase, the God of, there are eight specific areas or eight specific points that I want to cover and show you. And they are, he is the God of patience and consolation in the scriptures. He is also the God of hope. He is the God of all comfort. So we're not going to really find comfort any other place but this God who is the God of all comfort. The God of love and peace. He is the God of all grace. He is the God of heaven. And he is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that really separates him out pretty neat. And there are eight of them, eight different God ofs that are listed in the Bible. And eight is the number for a new beginning. And it is a new beginning every day for every man and every woman in all of those categories. Let's go to Jeremiah 17. And we'll look at these verses here, Jeremiah 17, verse 13, it says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, or you'll be disappointed in your expectations if you forsake God, because you're forsaking the source, and there's no other place to get it. So, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of what?
Living waters.
He's the fountain, an unending supply. Can you always go back to the fountain? Sure. Just turn yourself around because that supply is unending and it's always there for you. And what's more, in verse 14, it says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. See, the greatness of it is he is the originator, and it begins with healing. Then comes wholeness, which salvation is wholeness. And as Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And it is in an unending supply. It will refresh, it will restore, and it will take you to healing and also to wholeness. So I want to consider these eight different areas or resources, a new beginning, a new supply, where our God is the originator, the source of supply for man, to be secure and be confident in the more abundant life. So that's why I want to get to these specific areas so that you can be confident, you can be secure that you are going to be living a more abundant life. This is better than the middle class that our politicians are promising us with their supply of health care, their supply of, you know, all these different things that they think that you need. We will have an abundance of health because it comes from the source that brings health and wholeness. So I want to go to Romans chapter 15, and I want to look at this record that he is the God of patience and consolation. I want to start with the first one. He is the God of patience and consolation. So we'll look at this, Romans 15. Take me a minute to get there. Okay. And then in Romans 15:5, it says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus," or Jesus Christ is really the text. The God of patience and consolation grant you. The grant you means it's used. The Hebrew and the Greeks both use that word grant in the sense of honor to their soldiers. In other words, you know, we talk about what our forefathers have given us in freedoms, you know, and have protected our freedoms. We talk about our soldiers that protect our freedoms. The freedom is there. It's been given by God. And Jesus Christ accomplished it for us, and he is the guardian of our freedom, so to speak. He should be honored for the freedoms he has given to us and the patience and consolation that is available through him. Now, the word patience is the word endurance. And it's in the sense of patience of to give you the time to grow, give you the time to increase, give you the time. In other words, to pace yourself so you don't run out of steam. That's what he's the God of. So there'll always be a supply of steam. He's kind of like Old Faithful. so that you get what it takes to finish. But it's patience in the sense that it's not something to be nervous about, whether you are going to finish. There is a supply to take you all the way to the end. Not where you need to get frustrated. It allows you the time to mature. Let's start looking at this from verse 1. And it says, "We then," and he's talking to the believers at Rome, and they are mature believers. He's speaking to the ones that have been there, have a great foundation, and are continuing to move on the promises of God. And he says, "We then that are strong," we then that have been practicing the word, have been doing what the word teaches us to do, "we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves." The weak are the less mature. And you will, you know, in a family, you always have someone who's less mature, whether it's your child or then there's grandchildren, then there's great-great-grandchildren, and so on down the line. There's always someone that's just starting out. And they have this supply from God who is patient and gives consolation, and I want to get into that in a little bit. But the less mature are kind of what you would call juveniles in maturity. They're starting to step out on things, but, you know, they're your teenagers, and they need a little help. But the purpose is, and why we have that patient endurance, is so that we don't lose hope, that there is always an encouragement there. I think a great tragedy for believers in our Christian community is that they quit. You know, someone gets mad at somebody else and then they stop. They stop sharing the word. They stop sharing the benefits of the word. Worse, they stop operating manifestations of the gift of Holy Spirit, particularly speaking in tongues, which I've recently covered for you, where speaking in tongues, excuse me, is perfect intercession for the saints. Well, why wouldn't you want to make perfect intercession for the saints on their behalf to God and against the enemy's attacks? Why would you ever want to stop? Especially if you're mad at somebody, you would think you'd want to speak in tongues for them even more. So that you can make perfect intercession for that person. And if they are wrong, perhaps they will turn around and redevelop areas of their life. But, you know, there's always that great tragedy because speaking in tongues also is to give thanks well. And I think of it in terms of and developing ourselves in our maturity as believers, because we speak in tongues when we have a need. But since it's giving thanks well, we ought to speak in tongues when that need is met even more and say, thank you, Father. Good gosh. Now, he is the God of patience. He's the God of endurance. He's got plenty of patience. He doesn't get frustrated with us in our development. We might get frustrated with one another, but, you know, we ought to be delivering that supply of patience and endurance and allow people an opportunity to grow. And people grow in different areas at different times. You know, for us, perhaps, looking at children, you know, we think, okay, well, he reaches this age, he should know this, he reaches that age, he should know that, and so on and so forth. It's different spiritually because of people's different backgrounds and so forth, but there should always be that endurance. There should always be that help, that patience. And he is not only the God of patience, but he is also the God of consolation. And I don't particularly like the word consolation because it sort of has a negative connotation to it. You know, in other words, you're not Miss America, you're the runner-up. You get the consolation prize. She gets the roses and all that, and you get the whatever, lilies or something else. So I don't particularly like consolation in that idea. It's more in the idea of encouragement. And like, for instance, a track coach will always give his runner encouragement. He watches that runner and he helps that runner get the absolute best out of his ability to perform. There can be runners in front of you and runners behind you, but he focuses totally on you as the runner, and he encourages you. He keeps you from getting frustrated that there's other people in front of you and maybe are gaining more ahead of you, but he knows what you can do. And he just told you there, and, you know, and then he'll say, okay, give it your kick now. Now go, go, go. And he's, you know, and everybody in the stands is standing up cheering. And yeah, that's the encouragement. He is not only the God of patience, but he is the God of encouragement. When we, you know, when we are walking the word, when we are moving on the things of God, I see the angels, you know, up there in the stands going, go, go, yeah, man, go. You know, they're not out there yelling, oh, poor dear, oh well, next time, you know, that kind of encouragement, you know, that kind of consolation, that's all right, you know. No, they are right in the heat of the competition, cheering you on, and you get that extra burst of energy from everybody up there in the stands. That's how I see it, and I see it spiritually that God is like that track coach. He's so focused on you and so knows your pace, knows everything about you, and that still small voice just says, okay, hit it, go, give your kick, now's the time, here's the point. In one race, your kick may come very early. In another type of race, your kick may come very late. He's also a good coach, is aware of the people you would be competing against. But he doesn't tell you that, because he's focused on you and he doesn't want you watching everybody else. He wants you concentrating on you and on him to carry it out. And he knows there may be rabbits up ahead that really take off and try and get everybody wore out at the beginning of the race, so that when they're ready to put in their kick, it's not as big a kick because you've expended so much energy. God is that focused on you, that specific. He is the God of endurance, and he is the God of encouragement, and he knows what will take you to endure the entire race and finish on top, and he knows how to encourage you at every step. And then us, as mature believers, should start to learn more about this as we're helping and working with other younger, less mature believers, so that we can give them the encouragement, now, put your kick into it, go, and be there cheering for them on the sidelines. In Hebrews chapter 5, I wanted to cover this. Great record in Hebrews. Because, like I say, people grow at different times, and what they require in stages of growth are different. In Hebrews chapter 5, it tells us in verse 12, and this is why we need endurance, and this is why we need the encouragement. And here it says in verse 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk." Well, generally, milk is reserved for babies. It's reserved for those that, not reserved, but it's used by those that cannot digest meat. But you reach a point as a child, where mom takes the bottle away, and then we start putting you on food, on, you know, solids. Yeah, there you go. Put you on solids because your body needs that to gain strength and to develop. But even spiritually, some people stay with the bottle. You know, for instance, it is one thing to know that there are nine manifestations of the Spirit, but there is quite another thing to act upon those manifestations. One will give you nourishment like milk does. The other exercises you so that you become strong and you become developed. That's what we would like for to happen for the believers. Once you get onto the track, you're going to need something. You're going to need a diet that's going to carry you all the way through to the finish, and we need to develop ourselves. Well, God is telling them here in Hebrews, when you ought to be teachers, when you should be the coach, you're still needing someone to get you off the milk and start getting you to exercise your muscles, exercise everything that you have. For, it says, be the first oracles of the principles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word, because you haven't practiced it enough. There's a lot of things in life that you find yourself perhaps unskillful, but you learn to develop yourself. And in life, things... when you first try something out, you may not have as much confidence in yourself or in whatever you're going to do. But as you keep practicing it, you become much more confident. Like the first time you ride a bicycle, especially a two-wheeler, you're a little nervous as to exactly what's going to happen. But after a while, you become to where you just jump on the bike and you go. Well, that's the way we should be with what God has given us, to live a life which is more than abundant, way above the ordinary measure. then we need to start tapping the resources and utilizing what God has given to us. And He is the God of patience and consolation. So it's really great. It says, He's unskillful in the word of righteousness, for He is a babe. Now, I like babes. Well, but at some point we have to grow up. You have to get out of the babe stage. It's cute to see a little baby in a diaper crawling around on your carpet and trying to stand up holding the end of the coffee table. It's quite another thing when you have an adult who's in his diaper trying to stand up holding on to the end of the coffee table. Some point you have to develop yourself. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of what?
Use.
Have their senses, and it's talking about your spiritual senses, exercised to discern both good and evil. Isn't that beautiful? We should be developing ourselves. And we should be getting strong meat, but we need to exercise ourselves. We need to exercise what we've learned. We need to grow from the stage of knowing things from the scripture to doing things from the scriptures and living those things and acting upon them. So it's pretty neat. Well, Philippians also shows us a little bit about this word consolation in Philippians chapter 2. And that consolation, that encouragement. In Philippians chapter 2, it tells us, if there be therefore, I'm in verse 1, Philippians 2, 1, if there be therefore any consolation, any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then it goes into the mind of Christ. Well, is there any consolation in Christ? Is there any encouragement in Christ? My goodness, it's by the barrelful. By the barrelful. See? And the encouragement is take another step. Take another step, like walking like a baby when you teach them to walk. You know, you don't just let them take one step and then they sit down and then that lesson is over. You've learned how to walk, so you're good for the rest of your life. No, you're still encouraging them. Take another step, and then you get further back. You make the distance a little longer. And not so where the child is falling down, but close enough to if the child does fall, you can lift them right back up and get them started. Well, this is what we need to do. As mature believers, as elders, for the younger ones, but we need to get them to the place that they are walking on their own and that they're willing to take another step. Take another step. See? Well, let's go back to Romans 15. This record where we sort of started. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak or the less mature and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, to build him up, to strengthen him. We know, too, that when someone has suffered an injury, that they go to rehab so that they can rebuild the strength that they once had. And usually that kind of rebuilding is very tender and very, very encouraging. We should constantly be willing and able to not only have the patience, but to encourage others to grow, Take another step. Move another step. Move another inch. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it was written, the reproaches of them that reproached, they reproach thee, fell on me. You know, you can't frame a building until the foundation is set. That's why we're constantly encouraging. And when it came to Jesus Christ, the way he worked with his disciples, he only had a short period of time in which to work with them, only a short period of time in which to develop them. But, you know, he never forced them. But obviously, he had patience and encouragement for them to the end they arose. See, Christianity is not a program where we're going to take it to this stage and we're going to, you know, that's not it. It's a family that is growing together and a family that is developing together. It is the children of God growing and walking as a family. For instance, in your household, perhaps, as you were growing, if you were an older child, you may have assisted and helped in the rearing and caring for the younger children. Or if you were one of the younger children, how were you treated by your older brothers and sisters? They probably helped and assisted you to grow. So it's not a program. Programs have rules. Programs have... you can fail a program. You can't fail the family of God. And people tend to want to put people on a program. And that's not what it's after. It's a loving family growing together and developing together. And there is always great patience and always great encouragement. I think of, some of the... sports things that I have watched, how younger brothers and sisters, where an older one is out on the field and performing in some kind of athletic event, and those children are just up there yelling and shouting for their brother or their sister. And the other way around, you have the older brothers and sisters cheering on their younger ones. Absolutely, it's beautiful. But a program isn't going to do it for you. It takes a lot of love. But remember, he first loved us, and there's plenty of it. So he's the originator. He is the source. He is the God of patience and consolation. We should remember that he is the God of hope, the God of peace, the God of all comfort, the God of all God of love and peace, the God of all grace, the God of all the God of heaven. And because he is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can be confident and secure that we will live the more abundant life. So we'll get into some of these other things, but that's where I think we'll end today and develop the rest of these, the God of, so that you can have the strength in your life and help you strengthen others. Bless your hearts.